Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 295. Today, B says, I'm currently writing a near-future speculative fiction story that revolves around a brainwashed amnesiac. Think Manchurian Candidate and Marvel's X-Men, only without the disturbing imagery of the candidate. How long could a brainwashed individual function before the programming lost its potency? I thought I had read somewhere that brainwashing is not effective over long durations of time, so could it compel an individual for years at a time? And how would it best be accomplished?
Well, B, you're unfortunately right. A lot has happened in our understanding of how behavioral conditioning and brainwashing works since the original Manchurian Candidate back in the 50s. I was not able to sit through the updated editions, so I don't know what expectations that may have sown in the audience. But if you're talking about strict realism, brainwashing only works with an environment that actively maintains the delusion that the brainwashing has induced. The quintessential book on the topic is, I forget the author, but it'll be in the show notes. It's called The Wrong Way Home, and it is a longitudinal study of cults and how cultic brainwashing works and where it sticks and whatnot. Brainwashing is basically a combination of behavioral conditioning, sometimes coupled with hallucinogens or other chemical reinforcements, and variable reward schedule conditioning. The former is the way that you train a dog to drool every time the dinner bell rings, to go back to the original Skinnerian experiment for classical conditioning, and is on display quite realistically and terrifyingly so in A Clockwork Orange. Clockwork Orange is meticulously realistic about how behavioral conditioning works and how it can be broken. So brainwashing mixes behavioral conditioning with variable schedule reinforcement, which is the mechanism by which things like gambling and other forms of gaming develop such a heightened pleasure response in the human brain. By arbitrarily moving the target of reward while demanding a consistent pattern of behavior and increasing the reward's value, you create the ideal conditions for someone to develop a compulsion. And sometimes you'll see the people will develop behavioral tics, you know, being extra solicitous, having strange ritualistic words that they say in certain social situations and whatnot. Those are almost always induced, unless there's an underlying neurological condition that makes them obsessive compulsive or something. Those are almost always induced by variable schedule reinforcement conditioning, whether it was acquired deliberately through an abusive relationship or a controlling authority figure, or whether it was acquired incidentally through living in a highly unpredictable situation, for example, in a war zone or with a chronic illness or with a loved one with a chronic illness, particularly one that induced mental or social instability. And then you can couple those with chemical methods, both to control the pleasure and pain responses in order to heighten both the classic and the variable scheduled response behavioral conditioning, or with things like hallucinogens in order to induce spiritual experiences and other deep senses of epiphany in order to fix a response in the psyche. And sometimes with hallucinogens, you can bring about subtle, and the key word is subtle, personality changes as well. Now, here's the problem with Manchurian candidates. The kinds of responses that stick without being continually reinforced are things like fear responses, aversion responses, occasionally aggression responses to certain particular types of stimuli. The way the Manchurian Candidate worked is you had someone who was on a sort of psychohypnotic remote control who became utterly suggestible with the introduction of a particular trigger. And it was a really cool theory when it was around, and it was such a cool theory that a lot of governments poured a lot of money into it. But it turned out simply not to work. Some people are really receptive to hypnotic conditioning. Most people are only marginally receptive to it, and some people can't be hypnotized to save their lives. But it doesn't let you put kill switches or kill someone switches in that person's mind. Moreover, all these conditioning methods are the same kinds of things that are used in parenting and in all religions and in most social clubs. You have the rituals that reinforce, you have the social rules that are reinforced on a variable scheduled rate, you have sensual experiences associated with music and sharing and intimacy, whether forced intimacy or not. You've got bonding created with vulnerability, exercises, all those sorts of things. Whether you're talking about a social situation that is good and decent, or something that is malign and evil, or something that's a mix of the two, these are the ways that humans bond socially, and brainwashing is just a hijacking of those same responses and techniques. And the most reliable way to break conditioning that demands positive action, meaning you go do something when this happens, rather than reactive conditioning, which is you see this, you run away, you're scared of this, you have to defend against this, that kind of stuff. The proactive conditioned responses fall away very quickly when they are not continually socially reinforced. Think of any friends you had who were, say, as teenagers, avid churchgoers, and then once they went away to college, they kind of slipped away. And yeah, they still believe, but they're not that serious about it. They don't go to church every Sunday, they're not big on praying or reading their holy book, and unless you get them into an argument about the proprieties of parenting and whatnot, you just simply can't tell that they have this religion when the people around them don't. It's because those kinds of social conditioning wear off really fast without continual reinforcement, and the more counterfactual the paradigm of the social group is, or the brainwasher is, the more counterfactual it is, the more you have to have that regular social reinforcement in order to make it work. Now, there's a few caveats to this, and you can see them from studying, say, for example, the Manson family. You get someone young enough with a vulnerable enough psychology, and you can hook them more or less for life. You won't have remote control over them, but you can have undying devotion, for example, like Squeaky Frome still displays for Charles Manson. I mean, Manson used all these same techniques as well. So you can have that kind of situation go on where an effective cult leader can hook someone with that level of effectiveness, but it has to be exactly the right match between the right candidate, the right cult leader, and then a situation where the devotion can be plausibly maintained. And in order for the devotion to be maintained, they need to either be in a situation of continual social reinforcement or a situation of continual social besiegement where people are desperately trying to get them to swear off their conditioning, and that can switch them over into ego defense, where in order to defend their own identity, they defend their brainwashing, and that provides the reinforcement that the brainwasher can't provide in person for whatever reason. And in circumstances like that, you can get the undying devotion martyrly type going on. The Manchurian candidate, on the other hand, is a bridge too far on just about every one of these axes. Hypnosis doesn't work that way, and psychological conditioning doesn't work that way. The only things that can turn someone into that kind of a sleeper agent involve their voluntary participation. You can't do it against their will. Now, you get someone who's got a malleable will, and you spend enough time priming them, you can bend them with their ongoing active consent. And if you fix that ongoing active consent long enough, you can then have a true believer who will effectively stick with the program through anything and everything forever. But the true believer syndrome is the only time that really works. Now, this is, of course, all when you're talking about realism. If you're willing to bend realism, or you're talking about science fiction, so you could potentially bring cybernetic implants that can remote control people without their consent, such as Stephen R. Donaldson used to great and very disturbing effect in his Gap Cycle series, first book of which is The Real Story, and oh boy, you've got to have a strong stomach, but it is fantastically written. Then you can accomplish the kind of Manchurian candidate thing you're talking about without the subject's consent and without the subject's knowledge of what's going on or ability to do anything to prevent it. So I don't know if that helps, but that sort of thing at least is still theoretically possible. No one's actually experimented with it yet, so its likelihood hasn't been definitively confirmed or disproven. Great question. Had a lot of fun with it. These are dark pathways that I love treading in research because humans are f***ed up. But that's part of the charm. Anyway, thanks very much for sending it in, and I will see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc., and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.